Incredibly excited for this edition of Locked On NBA. It's the Scout. The Scout returns to Locked On NBA. NBA Scout, hired by an NBA team, files reports on a daily basis for this team, comes on our show, gives his take anonymously about what he's seeing around the NBA. If you want the daily breakdown of Wednesday night's huge packet of games, go to Locked On Fantasy Basketball with Josh Lloyd. But here's the Scout.
You are Locked On the NBA, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
The Scout joins us, as I said, hired by an NBA team. Comes on the show anonymously, give a breakdown of what he's seen so far in the league. Scout, let's start with just some general things. Who's the best team you've seen so far?
The best team I've seen so far, I'm going to say Toronto. I've just been impressed with the way they defend more than anything right now. And they have some talent on the offensive end, but the way they defend and get after teams is just really, really impressive. And it helps that they have probably the best perimeter defender in the league in Kawhi Leonard.
Does he look like Kawhi Leonard of 2 years ago to you? Does he look better? Does he show any inkling of lacking anything?
He's definitely not lacking anything. I think he's back for sure. He impacts the game in so many ways, offensively and defensively. I think he can get anything he wants on offense. And then, like I said, defensively, he just impacts the game and changes things drastically.
They had that bench squad last year. How is Nick Nurse using the team differently, or what's the impact of Nick Nurse so far?
Well, I think that he is getting more out of his guys, and he's like the guys that came off the bench last year. They're playing more. Like Siakam is now a starter, and he brings so much energy. And another guy that really impacts the game with effort. Running the floor and doing the little things and offensive rebounds. And then I've always been a fan of Van Vliet, another talented backup point guard who fills in very well for Lowry. So I think Nurse, I know they loved Casey, but Nurse, I guess, is more coach or player friendly. And just gets more out of his role players.
He also, you know what? Like, I don't mean to, I'm not trying to discredit Nick Nurse and what he's done. Kawhi Leonard's way better than DeMar DeRozan.
I totally agree. And I don't know how many other people are saying that, but it's just the truth. And the Toronto upgraded. And I mean, that's what they had to do in order to take the leap.
And frankly, statistically, they're way better than they were last year because Kawhi's better. But if you actually dig into statistically, they aren't statistically better yet. Now, they've always been a playoff bust, largely because LeBron, and LeBron's not there anymore, so it's even a better script for him.
Right.
But I think if you look at offense in the league is way up, not way up, but considerably up. And if you look at Toronto's offense, it's down 0.4 points per 100 possessions from last year. And its defense is 2.2 points worse than it was a year ago. So while I'm 100% with you, Toronto's probably the best team I've seen in the Eastern Conference as well, Scout. And while I'm completely with you, I think Nick Nurse is doing a good job. Like, the other angle is Kawhi's way better than DeMar. And every statistical metric, this team's actually not better than last year's team.
True. If you're basing it on stats, they are not. And with LeBron being gone, it makes them look a whole lot better. So I agree with you totally.
Halfway point. What would be the next Eastern Conference team?
Oh, Milwaukee, for sure. I I would say I would choose Milwaukee over Boston just because of Giannis. I mean, Giannis is he's a nightmare for anybody that faces Milwaukee. I'm just blown away at how good and how talented he is, and he's still a baby by NBA standards.
We had a fascinating night with him the other night. The Jazz guarded him with Rudy Gobert. And when he got the ball outside the three-point line, Rudy did not leave the paint. And it flustered him. He didn't make a shot outside 5 feet all night. He was uncomfortable, and he still dropped 30 and 10. And he had a bad night. I think he missed the most amount of shots he's missed in a game all season or his entire career. He has now dropped 30 and 10 in 5 of his last 7 games. The only 2 games he didn't go 30 and 10 are games in which they played Atlanta and Detroit, were up by so much he didn't have to do 30 and 10.
Wow, that's impressive.
Here was our plane debate. You've been on it. You know how the plane debates work. Here was our plane debate. Who plays the hardest in the NBA?
Oh, are we talking player or team?
Yeah, no, player. Individual. So Giannis was the conversation started that someone said Giannis uses the most energy and puts out the most just relentlessly on every play of anyone in the league.
I would say he's probably number one. Well, top three. I'm gonna surprise some people with this name. This guy that I've watched play this season a few times, and I guess we're gonna get to this too. Montrezl Harrell.
Oh,
he's tenacious. And I didn't see it coming, and I don't know how many other people saw it coming, but he's a guy that teams have to prepare for when they're getting ready for the Clippers. And no one expected this from this kid, but he goes hard every night.
It's a great call. I love Montrezl Harrell. That was, that's turning, I mean, to buy that trade's turning out. Montrezl Harrell, they got some pieces in that trade for Chris Paul.
For sure.
And they got some pieces for Blake Griffin too. Like they didn't, they lost 2 guys and they didn't happen, what happened to Toronto and Utah and Cleveland where free agents left and nothing came back in return. They certainly got good pieces from that. Russell Westbrook's got to be in that conversation as well. Anybody else? Who are the hardest players in the league? Russ, Giannis, Montrezl Harrell. Anyone else you'd put on that list?
Well, like those are my top three. And then after that, everybody else is kind of jumbled in there together. No one else stands out to me as like just playing extremely hard every night.
And the person who was making the argument for Giannis says he's more committed to every defensive play than Russ, and that's why he was taking Giannis. He's like, Russ
and
plays
with...
okay, so you agree, because he said, hey, Russ might play with more force, but Giannis plays with more consistent energy than any player in the league.
Yes, Russ will take some plays off defensively, but Giannis is 48 minutes, or, he's there the whole stretch of the game.
These the Scout, NBA Scout, comes on the show anonymously to give you this insight and this expertise. We'll find out who the best Western Conference team's seen is. He mentioned it. Who are the players that he looks at differently now halfway through the season than he looked at before? We'll continue the conversation run around the league with the Scout. If you got a smart speaker for the holidays, you can tell it to play podcast Locked On NBA, or you can tell it to play whatever local favorite team you have in the Locked On podcast world. So, Western Conference, what's the best team you've seen so far, Scout?
I would have to say, I guess it's Denver because of their consistency. The way they played from the beginning up to this point, it would have to be Denver. They have a good mix of talent – and they have depth. And Malone is again getting the best out of his guys. And what I like about Denver too is they have stuck with their young guys that they've drafted or picked up in free agency or however they've acquired them, and they've developed them. A lot of teams tend to give up on guys if they're not progressing fast enough. But Denver has helped these guys develop and become better, meaningful NBA players, and I've been impressed with that.
Their defense has gone from 21st in the league to 10th. It was 30th 2 years ago. What's different about what they're doing defensively?
I think it's more about effort. And the guys have bought in, and they really believe that they belong. As individuals, they believe that they belong in the league, and they know that they can make an impact and shake things up in the Western Conference. And I think it's more about effort more than anything, because, I mean, the personnel is the same, I don't think the strategy has changed. That they want to win, and they know that they have to defend to have a shot at competing with the best teams in the Western Conference.
Jokic is incredible. The game winner he hit the other night against Miami, I think, was luck. But I mean, he's incredible. The passing is obviously the best. But what jumped out to me when I watched them earlier this year, Scout, I didn't love the way they were closing games. And now it looks like Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic are beginning to get some sort of kind of a camaraderie together that is allowing them to have more options late in games.
That's for sure. I noticed that in a few games that I saw them. I was impressed with the way Jamal Murray carried himself at late in games, where in the past, I wouldn't want him on the floor. I wouldn't have wanted him on the floor. But now he's calmed down a little bit. He still does a few boneheaded things, but that's going to happen because he's not a true point guard. But still, he and Jokic are closers. And they know how to win, they want to win, and they fear no one.
They've had 25 games this year. They've been within 5 points with 5 minutes left. They've won 18 of them. They're 18-7 in close game situations. And what's crazy about that is they're doing it defensively. They're the fourth best late game defense in the NBA. Their offense has just been average, but they're doing it defensively. Are there other aspects to just Jokic? Is there something else about that Denver Nugget team that's better than we all realize? Is Plumlee actually way better? Is there some piece to that puzzle that is not getting the recognition that it deserves?
I don't know if there's a magic answer. I mean, they're so versatile. They're versatile from top to bottom, and they still have guys on the bench that can't even play yet because of injury, and that's what's even scarier about them. So they're going to have some decisions to make when guys come back. But still, the versatility and the athleticism, the force with which they play with, and I'm just going to say it's just confidence more than anything, because I can't pinpoint anything physical or any major changes that Malone has made or his coaching staff has made to make them so much better now. I mean, they were right on the cusp last year of being a very good team, and now we're seeing the fruits of their labor.
You know, and you start the year 9-1, you believe in yourself a little bit, and then they actually kind of fell apart a little bit and got through it. So they deserve a huge amount of credit for that. We have never seen them in the playoffs, and this is really the essence of your job, Scout. Is that
yes. So?
Jokic is just makes Denver different than everyone else, right? Denver's
yes.
Scouting report is so we've never seen them in the playoffs. How much are they winning in the regular season? Because you're suddenly submitting a scouting report about the Nuggets that's so crazily different than every other team that teams are having a hard time getting ready for them, and some of their effectiveness, we'll find out, is less going to be less effective when someone plays them 7 times in a row.
That's for sure, and that's when we're going to see who they really are, because they don't know what it's like to be in the playoffs and again be in a 7-game series. And this, and I'm talking even like with their first round matchup, they're going to be challenged. And we're going to really see what they're made of and if they can withstand the pressures and the adjustments that are being made game to game, facing the same team. I mean, I think Jokic is going to be Jokic, but we'll see how Murray responds in the playoffs. And, I mean, Millsap is going to be Millsap. He's been there before. But the other guys, they haven't. And so that's going to be the challenge for Malone and his staff to get those guys to stay the course.
Give me an idea. For those who don't follow as closely or if they're listening to the show, they probably do, but how different is that Nuggets scouting report? When you submit the Nuggets plays and your and those kind of things, how different is that scouting report than what everybody else's looks like?
Well, the thing about it, offensively, they haven't changed anything. The plays are the same. It's the defense. Now, in the past, they didn't guard anybody. They couldn't guard anybody. They wouldn't guard anybody. Now, they've slowed down. They're not throwing the ball up and down the floor and playing in a glorified pickup game. So that's one thing. I guess you could say that offensively. They've slowed the pace down, and they're not just throwing the ball around. They're actually running plays. They're efficient. They execute offensively. And then defensively, they're guarding people. They have personnel to guard people.
I think I meant how different is that Nugget? Like if you're playing Dallas one day, Minnesota the next, and then Denver after that, how different is what Denver doing because of Jokic than everybody else and make it hard for people to get ready for them in that game?
Oh, well, you know, no, not many teams have a post-game presence. I mean, a post-presence. So now he's a legitimate post presence, and now you have to prepare for that because you're going to have to double team him every time. And most teams aren't accustomed to that. And now with him, he passes so well, you got to pick your poison. Okay, do we double him and then risk him dishing it to someone else who can score? Or do we allow our big to try to guard him one-on-one and foul out? So you're in a dilemma. So you have to make a choice as a coach. What do we do? How do we guard this guy and at the same time guard this team? So you're trying to figure out how you guard basically the whole team whose offense is centered around probably the best center in the league.
So we just did this whole conversation about Denver, best team you've seen. The Warriors are sitting there at 27-14. They're just a game back. Do you think there's anything wrong with the Warriors? Or when the time comes, they just put it down again?
I still want to believe that they will come out on top in the West. I think some of it is boredom. I think they've gotten a little bored. I also believe that opponents don't fear them as much as they used to. Like, most opponents probably would walk into the arena in awe of the Golden State Warriors. They would be like fans. Now, teams walk in feeling like, we may have a chance. So everybody's playing them a little bit tougher now. But again, I think they're a little bored, and I think they can turn it up when they get ready.
Does Draymond have to be right physically for them to be great?
Absolutely. Yes, he does. And that's one of the questions. If he's not 100% healthy, well, mentally and physically, then I think that someone has a chance to knock them off.
I, for one, as a team, someone who works for another Western Conference team, think DeMarcus Cousins is our greatest hope. Like, adding DeMarcus to the mix gives, in my opinion, as they are right now, I expect them to win the title. Add DeMarcus, yeah. I think there's a chance it could go wrong. Like, that's my viewpoint on it. every time DeMarcus shoots, to me, it means Durant and Clay and Steph aren't shooting, and that's great. I think I might be the only one who thinks this, but that's my opinion. What is your thought on how DeMarcus integrates into that group?
I believe it's going to be very difficult because DeMarcus, it's sad to say, he can't change who he is. And as super talented as he is, and probably when healthy or when he was at his healthiest point, may have been one of the top five most talented players in the league. But he's very selfish. And he's going to take shots away from the guys who need shots. And I don't know if he can adjust his game to theirs. As much as they want to believe it, as much as he says it, I just don't know if it can happen.
Never had a usage rate under 30%. Who are those players that look different? We'll get and are different players today than they were when the year started. We'll get that from the scout coming up. We'll run through a few of the other Western Conference teams as well as we continue with the scout here on Locked On NBA. Make sure you've got your favorite NBA team's local daily podcast subscribed to on your podcatcher so that you're listening to it every day. And remember, you can tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On NBA. All right, Scout, who are the players who you've seen that are different today than when the season started?
Well, I'm going to touch on two of the guys that we, or maybe three guys that we've already mentioned. I mean, just when you thought Giannis was good, he's now really good. And this league, I mean, a lot of people, I mean, the term superstar is used loosely, but there really aren't a lot of superstars in this league. Giannis is now a superstar. And he's scary because he's still scratching the surface. So that's one. We knew Jokic was good in the past, but he just seems to be getting better. And, like I said before, you really have to prepare in a different way for a guy, a big guy, that's as good as he is. De'Aaron Fox.
Hmm.
I like De'Aaron Fox and what he's doing with the Sacramento Kings. I think he is now the leader of that team. He has the keys to the car. And he's consistent. From what I've seen, he's been consistent every night. And he plays with aggression, with so much speed, plays under control. So I've really been impressed with him. Another guy, Tobias Harris. He's playing at an all-star level. He may not make it, but I think he played at an all-star level most of the season. Just his ability to score in a number of ways. He's got an inside-outside game. He can put the ball on the floor and get to the basket, draw fouls. Been impressed with him as well.
The Clippers let him go? If they can go get their guys? Or is he so good they decide to hold on to him?
It's going to be tough. I still think that they may go after who they really want, even though Harris is really good.
Be interesting. How good are – all right, let's run through some of the Western Conference teams for a second. Who's your MVP at this point?
I'm going to say James Harden.
Yeah, that's where I was going to start. I mean, this is – it's just incredible, isn't it?
It's really incredible. From where they started as a team to where they are now – and the way he's doing it without his sidekick, Chris Paul, it is truly amazing. And I know a lot of people talk about the way he plays and they don't like watching him play and his style of play or even the Rockets' style of play. But it's working for them. And he's another one-on-one nightmare where he's almost unguardable.
He's a basketball genius. I know people don't like it, but if anybody else could do the things he does, they would do them too. Right.
I agree. Totally.
I mean, he's and it's and if you there's a all the things that people don't like, whether it's the flop or the I mean, now that people force him to his right hand, he dribbles with his right, and he wraps his left hand around your defensive arm, brings it back into the ball, and now you're fouling him. Other guys would do that if they could. They can't. He's so strong, so balanced, so good with his handle. They can't do it. And the step back three, when it's legitimate and not five steps, is way better than otherwise. But he also has revolutionized the game with a step. I mean, we're seeing Luka do it, but that's all we're seeing. We saw Bojan Bunjanovic drop a game-winning step back the other day. Like, that's not happening without James Harden.
That's right. That's right. Just like the Euro step made its way into this league, now the step back.
That's a good point. I actually thought they were done. When Chris Paul went out, I actually thought that was the end of the Rockets. So little did I know they'd win eight of their next 10 and he'd go bananas. the Thunder are 25-15, but they have played the softest schedule in the entire league. And they've beat, to their credit, until just recently, with a loss to Washington, they have beat up on those teams. Give, you know, they deserve, that matters in this league, to go beat up on bad teams. But are they really good? I mean, I'm not saying they're a playoff team, I'm pretty certain. I think you understand what I'm saying. Are they really an upper echelon Western Conference Finals contending, or did they have a fortunate schedule early, which allowed them to, you know, really make hay?
No one really believes that the Thunder are a Western Conference Finals contending team. They've been very fortunate, and at some point they're going to run into a buzzsaw in their schedule, and then we'll find out what they can really do. Now, Paul George has been great. And, I mean, Russell is Russell. You got to take the good with the bad. But they have a winning record. But I think that could change. I have a feeling that they will drop. And once the playoffs roll around, they won't last very long.
Interesting. If you look at the league since December 1st, okay, so that's, you know, a little more than a month now, the San Antonio Spurs are one of the best teams, if not the best team in the NBA. How are they doing this?
It just goes back to Popovich. It goes back to system. It goes back to, I don't know what he does with these guys, with his players, with his teams, but he's a guru, and he gets the most out of whomever they throw on the floor. I don't know. They're great at drafting. They're great at acquiring players, and they know how to choose the right type of players for their system. And no one saw this coming, but they're gradually working their way up the ladder in the Western Conference. And I can't put a finger on it, but Pop is a magician.
Since December 1st, there are five teams with a different efficiency differential that's way better than the rest of the league. San Antonio is 11, Boston's at 9, Milwaukee's at 8, Indiana's at 8, and Utah's at 7. They're like, those are the five teams that are better than the rest of the league efficiency differential wise. Jazz are just 9-9 in that stretch. San Antonio is the number one offense in the NBA since December 1st, and they're not even shooting threes. by 2 points. It's not even close.
Imagine that in a league where the three is so important now, according to the numbers.
Final thing for you, Scout. Why is Indiana good?
They are good because, I mean, obviously they have talent. And Nate is really a good coach. Nate has a way of getting the best out of his guys, and he doesn't get enough credit for his ability to coach. And he's got a good mix. I mean, young talent and Miles Turner. Thaddeus Young is not that young, but he's very efficient. He plays on both ends. Sabonis is good. I mean, they picked up a good score in Tyreek Evans. That's about all he brings, but that's all they need from him. Bogdanovich is good. I mean, it's just – and then they're in the East, so they're going to look better. Victor Oladipo is he's a star in this league. And he comes with it. He brings it every night. He can score pretty much when he wants to. So I don't know if there's anything – there's nothing really special about them. They play hard. They take on the personality of their coach. And they have the talent to compete in the Eastern Conference.
Tell you what, I'm in the bag for Nate. I've known him for a long, long time. So there's definitely – I mean, let me reveal that. Like, I've worked with him. I'm a big I could give you 15 names of coaches. I'm not going to give them because I don't want to discredit any of those coaches, from Mike D'Antoni to Brad Stevens to Steve Kerr to Quinn Snyder to who knows else, whatever, you know, in vogue coach that Dwayne Casey, if he was doing this, who, if they were doing the same thing with their team that Nate's doing with Indiana, would be like a headline story every day. Nate just is a little grizzly, a little gruff, and he just is not getting any love for what he's done with that team over the last 2 years. And you're absolutely right. He's got to be recognized as one of the best coaches in the league right now.
I totally agree. And he doesn't complain. He just coaches. He just does his job.
Scout, thank you so much for the insight. Great stuff. Really appreciate it. I tell all the guys to send you or listening to send you a thank you, but they're not allowed to because they're not allowed to know who you are. So thank you very much. We super appreciate it.
Thank you.